Ah, sin and the dead. That's the truth, too. It's not just about over. Ah, sin and the devil's just about over. Buddy, he's fixing to go home, and we are too. It's not about to be over. It's just about to begin. That was good. It sort of reminded me of myself singing them. Miss Joy Martin played the violin for the offertory. Wow, that was beautiful. That blessed my heart. Tremendous, tremendous. You cannot improve on the old hymns. You just can't do it. I love those good old hymns, and I love the good singing. My text verse is Hosea chapter 7 and verse number 8, and that last line where the Bible says, Ephraim is a cake not turned. Let me just go ahead and tell you what that means. It means the pancake's been cooking on one side too long, and it hasn't been turned over. It's burnt on one side, and it's raw on the other side. It's useless. That's the illustration. I'm going to take a little while and talk to you about the context and teach a little bit of the Bible in context, and then I'm going to take that illustration and preach a Bible truth about the fact of balance in life, using that illustration, the title of the sermon, A Cake Not Turned. Heavenly Father, I pause to pray, and as I said a little while ago in my office, Lord, I never want to pray out of habit, though it should be our habit to pray. I want to pray because I'm hungry for the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. I know, Lord, that all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down and works in and among us. This is a very practical Bible truth, and it's important that we hear, and I pray that you'd help me as I preach it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The book of Hosea speaks of a nation and its relationship to God. It's talking about a nation and its relationship with God. Our relationship is important, but the Bible does talk about nations and a nation's relationship with God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So it's talking about a nation and its relationship with God. And he illustrates that with the relationship of a man and wife in marriage and how they are to be committed to one another, how they are to be faithful to one another. Devotion to the Lord is like faithfulness in marriage. Idolatry, as the nation had committed against God, idolatry is like adultery. The worship of gods or putting other things in the place of worshiping the God of heaven is idolatry, and that is like a spiritual adultery. Hosea the prophet, his personal life in marriage was actually a picture or actually an illustration of the nation of Israel and its lack of commitment to God. Hosea's wife was unfaithful to him. She had left him and their children and had sold herself as a harlot. And his very life and his marriage was an example of what he was preaching to the nation of Israel and saying how difficult it is for a man whose wife is unfaithful to him, and it is difficult for God when a nation is not committed to him and to worship him only, but to worship idols in the place of worshiping the God of heaven. The book of Hosea can be outlined in four different statements. First of all, their unfaithfulness in Hosea 1, 2, and 3. Their actual sins, Hosea 4 through 7. Israel's judgment, the judgment that they face in Hosea 8, 9, and 10. And I love the last four chapters, Israel's restoration, Hosea chapter 11 and through verse number 14. And so their unfaithfulness, chapter 1, 2, and 3, their sins, 4, 5, 6, and 7, God's judgment because of their sin. Now, folks, we must understand it is a law. Be sure your sins will find you out. And it's better to confess and forsake your sin than it is to go to the day of judgment and God judge you for your sin. And so Israel faced judgment, but Israel also saw a restoration. That's what we hunger for, that we have a restoration in our nation and its relationship to God. Now, our text in the middle in these chapters is an example or illustration of the truth of the message tonight as he makes the statement, Ephraim is a cake not turned. There were three sins that were named. First of all, their ignorance. Now, ignorance is an interesting word to me. It does not mean illiterate. Doesn't mean that at all. Ignorance means to ignore what's available. It means to hear the truth but not pay attention to it. It means to be under the sound of teaching and preaching, but to ignore it and not allow that teaching to get into the mind and into the heart. And so their first sin was that of ignorance. Second of all was the sin of idolatry, and he dealt with that in chapter 4 and chapter 5. And then they came to the place of insincerity. They didn't care. They didn't care if they had church or not. They didn't care if they had a worship on the Sabbath or not. They didn't care if there was sacrifice or not. They just came to the place that they were so caught up in what they wanted to do. In our day, it would be sports and fun and travel and all the things that are enjoyable to do. But dear friend, we cannot do those things to the place that we lose our sincerity and lose our devotion to worship God. Being here tonight blesses the God of heaven. He is glad you're in your place. He's glad you're in your place of service today. And that's how we worship God, is to be faithful in our place of service. Now, why does God call Israel Ephraim? Ephraim is just one of the tribes. Why does he say Ephraim is a cake unturned or a cake not turned? Why does he say Ephraim rather than Israel? Well, the region of Ephraim is where worship began. Shechem and Shiloh were the two towns that were in Ephraim, and that was, if I can use the term, the religious center or the worship center. And I use that term loosely. It was actually a place where they were serious in their relationship with God. Shechem and Shiloh was a place where they came to worship God. It was the most important part and place in Israel. It was a place of dominance of the tribes of Israel. And this led to Ephraim becoming a synonym for the entire nation. And I'll say it like this: as went Ephraim spiritually, so went the nation. Now, we've got that a little wrong today. We think as it goes in Washington, so it goes in our nation. That's not true. As it goes with the people of God, that's what determines the blessings and the judgments of God. Are you with me tonight? You understand what I mean by that? I've quoted this several times recently, but it's been in my mind. Congressman Green from Tennessee, a conservative congressman, he went to Congress, and a few weeks ago he announced, "I'm not running again. I'm not coming back to Washington." And he said, "When I went, I thought the fight was in Washington." He said, "After being in Washington, I've learned that the fight is with Washington." And so he said, "I'm not going back. I'm going to be involved in things locally and in things in my state." And the truth is, as things went in Ephraim, so things went in the nation. As their worship went, that's how their nation went. And that is true in the church today. Now, Hosea used many illustrations to get the attention of the people. In our text, he uses a cooking illustration. He says, "Israel," or Ephraim, "you are like a cake not turned." Probably all of us have done this at some time. You make pancakes and you pour them in there, you know, and I like pancakes. Well, I just got sidetracked from the preaching right there. And a side of bacon. You know, when you put them pancakes in there, you watch for those bubbles. And when you get several of those bubbles, it's time to turn it over. Not black, but just brown. I'm telling you what, if I'd known this would have got your attention, I'd have preached on pancakes in Sunday school this morning. But we've all done this. We've got busy or we've forgotten. And we left the pancake on there and we didn't turn it over. He said, "You're like a cake. You're like a pancake that's burnt on one side and raw on the other." He said, "You're a cake unturned. And let me give you the truth of what he's saying here. You have focused on some things, but you've forgotten the other things to the place you're so out of balance. Neither matters. On one side, you're burned. The other side, the cake is undone. Now, this truth is found throughout the Bible, and what I'm preaching tonight is you and I cannot live the part of the Christian life that we enjoy, but we're to live the whole counsel of God. We're to live a balanced Christian life. I want you to take your Bibles, if you will, and I'll show you some Bible examples. Go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, there are things that we all enjoy doing in ministry. There are things that are our favorite, most enjoyable things to do. And then there are some things that perhaps we don't enjoy as well. For example, simply to get started with, you may say, I really enjoy church. I enjoy singing in the choir. I like the singing part. But maybe when it comes to your Bible reading and your walk with God, you're burnt on one side and you're undone on the other. You don't have a balanced Christian life. And that's the truth of what he's saying. And the Pharisees did the same thing. Notice in Luke chapter 11, and go with me to verse number 42. But woe unto you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs. Now think about that. Herbs are very small. They're very small. The mint and the rue and these herbs, they're small. And he said, when you increase or you grow your herbs, you make sure that you give 10% of that to God. You let everybody know. Let me tell you something, buddy. I got 14 ounces of mint this week in my herb garden and 1.4. I measured it, and 1.4 ounce of that went to God. And I tithe. I'm going to tell you something. I keep up with my tithe. And then notice what he says after this. And you pass over judgment and the love of God. Now, why would they do this? Because if they tithed, folks would know about their commitment in tithing, but when it came to their prayer closet, they were absent. And that's exactly what he's saying of Ephraim. You've done the things that you enjoy doing. You've done the things that are public or that are a display of your faith, but you haven't done the things that are important, such as your prayer closet. Let's go on to read the rest of these verses here. Then he said, these ought ye to have done. You should have tithed. But then he says, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for you love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. You're a trap. You cause a trap. You are a failure. You cause people to fall because you emphasize one thing and not another. Hosea would have said of these Pharisees, you're like a burnt pancake. You're burnt on one side and you're undone on the other side. And yes, you should have tithed. Hey, but after you've tithed, you should have turned that thing over. And when you get up in the morning, you ought to spend some time with God in prayer. You ought to spend some time with God in His Word. Now, I'm preaching tonight. Let's think about those besetting sins. Let's think about those things that we don't enjoy doing, but let's get those on the calendar. Let's get those in the schedule and say, I will crucify my flesh and do not just the things I enjoy doing, but I'll do the things that God wants me to do and that pleases Him. Take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 10. You'll be amazed how many examples of this same truth is in here all the way through the Bible. Romans chapter 10, we have here a group of people. They have a tremendous religious zeal, but they have no knowledge. They're like a race car. It's faster than all the other cars, but they're headed in the wrong direction. They're going to lose first. They're going to be the first to lose. They're going to be the first to fail. Notice what Paul says about them in Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, what do you have to do to be saved? First of all, you have to recognize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. You have to recognize what it is that separates you from the Father, and that's the fact that you're a sinner. All but Christ died to pay for our sin, and salvation is understanding that I have broken the law of God, but Christ has paid the penalty for my sin and the wage of my sin, and I put my faith and trust in Him for salvation. That is salvation. That's what Paul desired for Israel. Verse number 12, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. If they would just give up on themselves and trust God, if they would just give up on their works and give up on their zeal to work and fail and just believe in God, that would be the end of it, and they could have eternal life. Hey, when it comes to salvation, you don't want to be a cake unturned. You understand that you've sinned, and you understand the importance of doing right. Oh, but friend, that's just half of it. The other half is now saying, I put my faith and trust in Christ, and I trust Him for my salvation. Like the Jews in the days of Paul, we need not be unbalanced, but balanced in the Christian life. We tend to do things and follow the instruction of the Bible that comes easier to us. There's some folks that have been quoting the same 10 verses for 20 years. There's nothing wrong with those 10 verses, but hey, learn 10 more. Don't just find an area that you succeed in. Let's succeed in that area, but let's grow in another area. There's several examples of this in the Bible. There's grace and there's law. There's sometimes that the preaching is all law to the place that everybody is discouraged. There's an unbalance of preaching grace to the place that everybody thinks, it doesn't matter, I'll live any way I want, just confess my sin, everything will be all right. No, there's a proper balance, are you with me tonight, between law and grace. I don't want to be a cake unturned. I don't want to be burned on the side of grace and undone on the side of law. I don't want to be burned on the side of law and undone on the side of grace. I want exactly what the Bible teaches. I want to look at the recipe and say, I need this much law, and that brings me the understanding. I need Christ. Now I need to have enough faith to trust in Him for salvation. The cake's not better. It's not sweeter if you double the sugar and take out the flour. You've just ruined the cake. We want to be a balanced Christian in our life. When it comes to listening and speaking, we need balance. Some folks are burnt on the side of listening. Some folks are burnt on the side of talking, and they're undone on the other side. Yes, we need to talk. Yes, we need to speak. But we also, in our relationships, in our friendships, in our marriage, in our family, we need to spend time not only talking, but we need to spend time listening. You've heard the phrase, he's all talk and no action. I don't want to be all talk and burnt on that side and undone on the side of action. If you make a promise, you ought to keep it. And that's what he's saying here. Don't be a nation. Don't be a people. Don't be like Ephraim that's burnt on one side and that's undone on the other. In Joel chapter 2, Joel calls for repentance. He calls for repentance, and in those days, one of the signs of repentance is that they would tear or rend their clothes. They would sit down in sorrow, and they would cover themselves with sackcloth and ashes. It's sort of like lint and the sign of ashes that they put on their forehead. It's an expression of sorrow or an expression of repentance. And Joel says this, some of you have learned the outward expression of repentance and you've learned to use the altar. Now don't misunderstand me. We ought to use the altar. But if using the altar, if we replace the confessing or repenting of sins with just using the altar, we're like Ephraim and we're burnt on one side. We're undone on the other. And Joel says, rend your heart and not your garment. Are you with me tonight? When you look at all of life, there's many responsibilities in life. There's the mental, and the Bible speaks to the mental welfare of the Christian. The Bible speaks of the physical welfare of the Christian. The Bible speaks of the emotional welfare of the Christian. Much of the Psalms talk about our mind and our spirit. We learn in the Bible the importance of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We learn about the importance importance of being spiritual. We learn about the importance of our home life. We learn of the importance of reaching our communities for Christ. We learn of the importance of taking care of our finances. We learn of the importance of work. You say, preacher, it's a lot of things to do. Yes, but we need to focus on all of those things and not try to be a champion in one to the place that we're a failure in the other. I don't want to be a cake unturned. I want to be fit for the master's use. We have many responsibilities as a Christian in our church membership, in our daily walk with God, in our public testimony for Christ, in our witnessing and our speaking of others of the gospel, in the caring of our family, in our place of service, our ministry. It's important that we not just focus on one to the place that we forget the others. I'm thankful for those that do a good job in their ministry. Oh, but let's not neglect the others to the place of just doing what we enjoy. The Bible says it over and over. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 tells us there is a time for everything. Let me show it to you. Turn your Bibles there. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Solomon is saying the same thing that Hosea said, the same thing that Paul said to the Christians at Rome, that the same thing that Jesus said to the Pharisees. He said, there is a time for everything. We live in a day that we live in a day of convenience, and we just want to do what we enjoy doing. We want to do what we like to do. But I'm supposed to read that Bible right there and be everything that God wants me to be. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, notice what the Bible says in verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. Some folks never think about death at all. They sang that song, it's not about to be over, it's just about to begin. That's a different way of thinking. That's the thinking of a child of God. Some folks are so depressed thinking about America, not for the cause of revival or not for the need of spiritual awakening. They're just thinking about how it may hurt them economically. We need to think about not just living, we need to think about eternal life. In fact, the Bible says that we need to live this life with eternity in view. One day we're going to stand before Christ. One day we're going to give an account for what we've done in this life. Notice what he says at the end of verse number 2. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. And Solomon talks about all of these things being important. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Proverbs 11, verse number 1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight or a balance is his delight. Do you know one thing about just picking one thing in the Christian life and just doing that really well? We get to become a champion in that area. But I don't want to be a champion in one area of the Christian life if I'm failing in the other. Does that make sense to you? I don't want to be the fellow that I've read more Bible than anybody here today, and I haven't witnessed anybody in 6 months, but I've read more Bible than you have. I'm the Bible reading champion. You see. You say, well, preacher, is reading the Bible not important? Yes, reading the Bible is important, but I also have an obligation to witness. I don't want to be a cake unturned. I don't want to be unfit. I want to be useful to the master. All of these things are so important. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Be careful about spending all your time on trying to figure out what direction and every direction that folks are going on the internet and all the foolishness that's being said. I don't have time to keep up with all the foolishness. I'm trying to keep up with everything I'm supposed to do in the Christian life. Philippians chapter 4 says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there have been any virtue, if there have been any praise, think on these things. What do you do with the rest of them? I call that verse the mind filter. And if it makes it through these things, think on these things. If it fails one of those things, this filter is going to catch it and kick it out and not let it in my mind. Think on the things that are right. Think on the things that are pure. Think on the things that are spiritual and helpful and that are encouraging. Paul was speaking of contentment in Philippians chapter 4, and he said this, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. We don't want to say, oh, it's wintertime, I wish it was spring. Springtime, I wish it was summer. Summertime, I wish it would cool off. We ought to just be thankful for the goodness of God. Even in the valleys we learn. Even in the caves we learn. Paul said, I have learned. That means I didn't always know this, but I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I'm trying to finish on time. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15. See that you walk circumspectly. You know what that means? On purpose, with purpose. Not as fools, but unwise. We don't get up in life and just take off in the daytime to see what's going to happen in life. I know what's going to happen tomorrow. Now, God can change it. I understand that, but I haven't scheduled 1 minute for the devil tomorrow. I do have a scheduled time to read the Bible tomorrow. I do have a scheduled time to pray tomorrow. I do have a scheduled time to catch an airplane tomorrow. And I have a list of things to do while I'm on the airplane. I have articles to write. I have sermons to prepare. I do have a scheduled time to preach tomorrow night. I do have a schedule for Tuesday morning. I do have a schedule for Tuesday evening. That's what the Bible means when it says, walk circumspectly. If you just walk as a fool, you go out there where the devil is shooting his fiery darts. If you're not careful, the devil will destroy your life. Don't walk as a fool, but walk circumspectly. Don't just go through life as a cake unturned. Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Bible says in Mark chapter 6 and verse 31, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, he said to the disciples, and rest a while. And the Bible says as Jesus was talking to them in that passage of Scripture, he said, you fellows have been so busy, you haven't had time to eat. You said, that's how I felt last 3 days. Well, there's a time to rest. But that rest is purpose. It's not being lazy, it's purpose. Why do we rest? So we can work again. That's what it means to talk, to walk circumspectly. The reason half the folks in this world are in trouble today is their mind is out of gear, their life is in neutral, and they're waiting to see what the devil has to offer. Live your life on purpose, not as a cake unturned, but living it on purpose. I think of the illustration of Luke chapter 10, and Jesus comes to Mary and Martha. One's focused on one thing, the other's focused on the other. Mary is complaining about Martha, and Martha about Mary, and both of them were right. They just needed to have balance in their work and in their love for Christ. Let me give you these statements and I'm finished. Number one, we need to know what our responsibilities of life are by reading the Bible. I don't care what the top 10 book reading list is from New York. I know what the important book is to read in my life. Now, I'm not against reading books. I'm not against studying. A young man asked me this week that's in college, he said, preacher, what type of book should I focus on reading at this time in my life? I said, you ought to be reading biographies. Read biographies of men that God used and why God used them. And in every area of life. And not just, I told a story about a man I've been reading about. He said, the best thing ever happened to me was to go bankrupt. Now, he said, it hurt and was painful, but I decided not to live bankrupt, and I overcame that to become a success in life. But we need to read the Word of God so we know what our responsibilities are. When I read the Bible, it reminds me of what kind of attitude I'm supposed to have. It reminds me of what kind of reaction I'm supposed to have when things happen in life. It tells me what kind of action and behavior I'm supposed to have and things I'm supposed to do. We have to read the Word of God constantly to know our responsibilities. Number two, we must accept every responsibility of life. If you're a husband, find out what your responsibilities and roles are as a husband, and be a husband. Don't you be lazy. You don't have time to play games. You don't have time to mess around. You got a wife to take care of. You got children to take care of. You've got to work in times of games and playing. Those are in the past, and you need to decide, I'm going to be the husband I'm supposed to be. Wives, you ought to decide, I'm going to be the wife I'm supposed to be. Doesn't matter how I feel. What matters is that I'm right. And you don't want to be like Ephraim. He said, Ephraim, you've been on the griddle so long on one side, you're burnt. You're undone on the other, you're useless. You ought to live a balanced life. You ought to do everything that you're supposed to do. Find out and accept your responsibilities at home. Accept your personal responsibilities. Accept your work responsibilities and spiritual responsibilities. Let me give you the third thing. Don't try to be the champion in one area. Just do everything God tells you to do. And I've watched through the years that churches have sort of been raided. And folks have said, boy, that's the best church in America. Look how many missionaries they support. And then there was a period of time they said, that's the best church in America. Look how many buses they run. And that became a standard. Look at that church. That's the best church in America. They have more baptisms than any church in America. That's the best church in America. You say, well, preacher, which is the best church? It's the church that supports missionaries and the church that gets people saved and baptized and the church that run buses. And they may not be the best at anything, but they strive to do everything God's called us and commanded us to do. Then I say, number four, schedule every activity of life. Live by schedule. We don't have time to waste. Live by schedule. Schedule every activity of life. I have found in my counseling with folks that are working to get things done in life, and they're frustrated that they can't get things done, and we put together a journal or a budget of time. And I said, let's be honest. How much time have we spent in the mornings when it comes to television, telephone, all computer, all these things? There's nothing wrong with those. Those are great and helpful tools and resources. I use them all the time. But there's sometimes they tempt you to waste time. Sometimes you gotta get up and get to work outside. Are you with me tonight? Just a simple practical message tonight. Maybe you're here as a high school student and you're doing good in one area. And maybe you get consolation to say, well, I'm doing good in this area. I don't care about the others. I'm preaching tonight. Care about the others. I'm glad that you're doing well in that one area, but care about the others. If you're failing, get it to a passing grade. If you're at a passing grade, get it to an A or B. I'm saying let's do everything God's called us to do. Stand with me, if you will. I don't want to be like Ephraim, a cake unturned, half good, ending up being no good. And I want to rend my garment. I want to rend my heart. I want to follow the Word of God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. This is a struggle. This is not an easy task to do. I remember the different ages and stages of my life and the things that I enjoyed doing. And sometimes we enjoy